This is Audible.
You're listening to the audio production of Live Fearless, A Call to Power, Passion, and Purpose by Sadie Robertson with Beth Clark. Published by Thomas Nelson and read by Haley Cresswell. Introduction read by Sadie Robertson. Foreword read by Gabe Wicks.
To my brother John Luke, who stomps on the face of fear daily through his confident trust in the Lord, which he has found through faith, thank you so much for having enough faith to carry both of us, and for believing in me in the midst of my battle with fear. Because of the selfless love you showed me, I will never be the same. To my mom, who answered every single one of my panicked phone calls and spoke Isaiah 41:10 to me countless times, and took the time to learn the do not fear verse in the Bible in order to speak the truth I needed to hear. The patience you have with me and the courage you showed me when you did the things you were afraid of inspired me. You are the picture of fearless. To my precious little Bella, my little bean, thank you for asking me the tough questions. You awakened my heart to the change that needed to happen. To Two Mama, who stayed in L.A. with me during Dancing with the Stars and covered me in protection. You loved and cheered me on through it so well. To Miss Lisa, Lindsay, and Ashlyn, who spent hours sharing wisdom and walking out this journey of freedom with me, thank you for giving me a place to be open and be real, and for mentoring me in the most beautiful way. This book would not be complete without the timing of my relationship with you and the love your family has poured on me.
Forward. Whether she's writing a bestseller, launching a blog, walking at New York Fashion Week, appearing on Dancing with the Stars or the iconic TV smash Duck Dynasty, or speaking to thousands across the nation on tour, Sadie Robertson does everything with maturity, class, and grace. Excellence is her standard, and others are her focus. She's a role model and a real model, and a stunning combination of authenticity and generosity. She grew up in the spotlight, but she shines far beyond the glow of public attention and adoration. One of the things Shelley and I love and respect about Sadie is that she is real and an original. She's not caught up in pretense, performance, or appearance, but is passionate about leveraging her God-given platforms for the fame of Jesus and the freedom of others. A free life is infectious, and I can't think of anyone better equipped than Sadie to help light the Jesus-freeing way to a rising generation. At the core, I think we all want to live for something that will outlast time and earth. Yet so often, we are mesmerized by things that are fleeting. Popularity, approval, fame, success. As Sadie learned from experience, and as she shares in what follows, even a life filled with all these things can be riddled with anxiety, fear, insecurity, loneliness, and a sense of purposelessness. Though there's nothing wrong with success or recognition or acclaim, the problem arises when we bank our security on the opinion of people. People are a shaky foundation for meaning and worth. To live an eternally significant life, we must be anchored on something eternal. We must be anchored on Jesus. It doesn't take much research or headline scanning to realize that we live in an age of fear. Fear has many cousins and many names. Anxiety, dread, loneliness, and panic, to name a few. More people than ever, young people especially, are living in a dark pit of fear and anxiety. Social media hasn't helped much. At its best, it's a platform to proclaim the life-saving grace and glory of God. At its worst, it's a black mirror that magnifies our insecurities by highlighting the perceived perfections of others. The result is an emerging generation that is diminished, paralyzed, and unable to step into God's potential for their lives. As someone who has lived a harrowing season of life in the grip of anxiety, I know what it's like to wake up with a suffocating cloud of doom and darkness overhead. I know how it feels to walk with a thread of anxiety lurking in the shadows. Yet by the grace of God, I came through that desperate season, and here, by the grace of God, I stand. In Live Fearless, Sadie is open about her own road to freedom from comparison, anxiety, fear, and loneliness. But as you'll see, it's never for the sake of bravado or contrived vulnerability. Rather, Sadie leverages her experience for the fame of Christ, boldly proclaiming His truth and His promises to anyone longing for something firm to stand on. She helps us anchor in true purpose by uniting our lives with the One who loves us as we are and has always dreamed of making us more than we can imagine. As someone passionate about seeing young people live full and free in Christ, I am moved to see God raising up young leaders like Sadie and inspired by watching her boldly say yes to using her platform, success, and failure to lead people to Him. You don't have to be around Sadie long to know that her smile, laugh, and persona are infectious. But beyond the catwalks, stages, and TV scenes, what's truly infectious about Sadie is the unceasing, spirit-gifted joy she carries. It's obvious that she's been freed, and I hope you're ready to dive deep into the path to that same freedom. You may have picked up this audiobook because you want to be more like the joy-engulfed girl on the cover, and you may be disappointed to discover that she's not giving you a step-by-step guide to becoming Sadie Robertson. In this book, Sadie's giving you something more, leading you to someone far greater. Within this book, Sadie will lead you to your Maker and into intimacy with Him. If you follow her lead, you'll end up treasuring His Word and awakening to a revelation of His purposes for your life. I'm praying for you as you start the journey to freedom, believing that what follows will lead you down the best path you've ever walked on. Freedom has a name, Jesus, and I'm confident you'll grow to know Him better with each new chapter. I'm so grateful for Sadie Robertson, and I know you will be too. Jump in and glean all you can from this resource. Take advantage of the opportunity to reflect and process. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, and let God illuminate chains that need to be broken in His powerful light. For His fame, Louis Giglio, pastor of Passion City Church, founder of Passion Conferences, author of Goliath Must Fall.
After years of wrestling with being afraid of various things for various reasons, I can now say that I live a fearless life. Now, this does not mean that I don't still face situations that are scary. It just means that God has taught me how to stand strong and not to let fear take over my life. I'm so excited about this book because it's all about something that changed my life and that can actually change yours too. And I'm not talking about just a little bit of improvement. I'm talking about a major transformation. A transformation that means fear, anxiety, worry, and dread will never again keep you from following your heart and doing what you want to do. This book is about a journey I'm on with God, a journey that I hope you'll take too, a way out of fear and all the other negative things that keep faith from working in our lives. It's my story about learning to live fearless, and I am convinced that it can be your story too. As you listen to this book, you'll have a chance to express yourself and interact with the message of this book in a personal way. You'll find several ways to chronicle your journey out of the fears that are holding you back in life, postponing God's purpose for you, and maybe even derailing your destiny. As you dig deep in God's Word, answer questions, rise to challenges, receive encouragement, pray and pay attention to what you believe God is teaching you through this book, I believe something inside of you will change. When God sees you moving towards freedom, He'll do everything He can to help you get there. These are some features I put in the book to help you along your journey towards freedom from fear. So here's a question. One of the best ways we can grow is to respond to the question people ask us. As I share my personal stories, I'll stop from time to time and ask a question to help you think about what you just heard, what you may be going through while you're hearing all of this, or what God is really trying to teach you. Here's a challenge. I grew up in a house where challenge was a way of life. That's because my dad always wanted my siblings and me to be confident in what we believe. He knows the world can be a rough place and that people who believe the Bible is true and powerful are not always very popular. I don't think it matters to him if we're popular or not, but what matters is that we know what we believe, that those beliefs are rooted in the Bible, and that we can be strong in our convictions and able to defend them, no matter how hard someone's questions are. I'm grateful for the way my dad has challenged my brothers and sisters and me throughout our lives. The fact that he got in our faces about certain things has been extremely important in my development of faith. That's why I'm going to challenge you in this book. The challenges may not always be easy, but they'll be good for you. Trust me, I've learned from experience. Here's your first challenge. Before you start listening, grab a pen because you're going to want to write down anything that encourages you, anything that seems to be good advice, builds your faith, or even is worth remembering. I recently started highlighting the books that I'm reading, and I've found that when I do, I'm much more focused on what they can teach me, and I pay much better attention to what I'm reading. Give it a try and see if the same thing happens for you. Here's some encouragement. For some people, meeting a challenge is its own reward. If they think they've owned it, they feel great. For others, meeting the challenge is not so enjoyable, and they find it helpful to hear, "Way to go!" or "Here are some words of encouragement." The fact is, the journey through fear can be a little scary itself. It just works that way sometimes. You're trying to get the fear out of your life, but you're afraid of the process of getting the fear out of your life. When that's happening, a little bit of encouragement can be a big help. So I'll offer as much encouragement as I can as we go along. Here's how you can pray. Years ago, you could drive through almost any place in America and see a bumper sticker or a church sign that read, "Prayer changes things." Then someone decided to adapt it and say, "Prayer doesn't always change things, prayer changes us." You know what? It's all true. It's not either or. Prayer does change us, but prayer also changes our circumstances because it asks God to get more involved in them. Maybe you pray a lot and you feel confident in prayer. That is great. Whenever you come across something in this book that you want to pray about, go for it. If you're new to prayer or not so confident about talking to God, you can pray the prayers I've written. As you become more comfortable, you may want to adjust those prayers or add to them, going into greater detail with God about whatever it is that's on your heart. I am a big believer in the power of prayer, and I hope that you'll experience lots of answered prayers as you journey out of fear. Take note. As you make your way through this book, I'll ask some brief questions in the Here's a Question section, but I also want to ask for some deeper reflection. You may not be able to respond fully with a few words or a sentence, so in that case, you could journal your response in several paragraphs. I'll also share with you some scripture passages that have meant a lot to me, or ask you to find some that mean a lot to you. Anytime I'm hoping you'll pay special attention to something, that may mean pressing pause and picking up your Bible or journal. That's what this take note section is for. So, here's a quick behind-the-scenes story about my experience on Dancing with the Stars. The people in charge of the show were great, but they didn't hesitate to point out the things that I needed to change. One of the big ones was my use of the word so. I'm from the South, and when I say the word so, I can spread it out over 3 or 4 syllables, and I also say it a lot. The people at Dancing with the Stars said to me so many times, "Okay, Sadie, you have got to stop saying so all the time. Just try it one more time and don't say so much, okay?" In this book, no one's telling me not to say so I'm using the word and dragging it out with all of my O's. As a way to summarize the most important lessons and action points of every chapter, when you hear the heading so, you'll know it's my way of saying, I really hope you'll remember and apply a few key things, so here they are. Work the word. A pastor friend of mine, Rusty Nelson, says, "You got to work the word to know the word works." This means that while God's word is always able to change our life, to shift our perspectives, and to empower us to live in freedom and victory, it won't always happen just because we have a Bible on the shelf or even because we go to church and open the Bible to read along with the preacher. When we work the word, we read it, we study it, we think about it, we choose to believe that it is true, we share it with others, and we pray about it. Ask God to use its truth to transform the way we speak, act, and live. When we don't understand what the word means, the lack of understanding hinders our ability to activate it. When we do understand it, there's no limit to the ways it can change our life. Obviously, one of my hopes for this book is that it will help you live a fearless life. But my greatest hope is that this book will cause God's word to come alive in you and make you hunger for it so much that you feel you can't live without it. God's word always works. If you haven't experienced that for yourself, there's no better time than now. Before I say anything else, I want to share with you the Bible passage that changed everything for me as it led me out of fear into freedom. I hope and pray that it will do the same for you, but you'll hear it in a minute. This book is not something you just listen to and say, "Well, that was good," but this book can actually revolutionize your life. It can move you beyond the fear that is crippling you and set you free to soar. If you don't activate the words of the book, fully digest them, and apply them to your life, I hate to say it, but you won't walk away fearless. If you do, then you will. You have a part to play in leaving fear behind. Just as you have to work the word for the word to work, you'll also need to work this book for the book to work. Are you ready for an amazing journey, one that will lead you to live fearless? Okay, then let's go. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Because there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the whole earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
1. It's not that things aren't scary. Each of us must confront our own fears, must come face to face with them. How we handle our fears will determine where we go with the rest of our lives. Judy Blume. A few years ago, the idea that I would write a book on living fearless would have been unthinkable. I could have written a series of encyclopedias about how to live in fear, but I could not have come up with even one sentence about being fearless. I did not know how to live without fear controlling my life, directing my thoughts, influencing my decisions, answering my questions, preventing me from having fun, and keeping my emotions in a continual state of unrest. It caused me to say no to opportunities that could have shaped and changed my life, opportunities I now wish I'd said yes to. Had anyone asked me, "Who is the most fearful person you know?" I could have answered without thinking about it for even one second. I was the most fearful person I knew. I once met a girl in the audience of one of my speaking events who made the most interesting comment about fear. She said she felt like it was a disease she could never get rid of. For a long time, I felt the same way. I went through a season in my late teens when the fear became extreme, and that's when I realized things had to change. But I have to admit that for most of my life, I cannot remember not being afraid of something. Just like my long brown hair, my hands or my feet are with me all the time, and I cannot get rid of them, fear was always with me too. The thought of being free from fear was as far-fetched to me as being free from an eye or an ear. It was that much a part of who I was. After all, I reasoned, there were a lot of scary things in the world. Why wouldn't I be afraid? Sometimes I look back and ask myself, why were you so scared of everything all those years? I can answer that now, because I kept feeding my fear instead of starving it. God has done a complete work in my life, and I know He wants to do the same for you. Overcoming fear means surrendering control. Let me take you back to a few experiences that will show you what a fearful person I used to be. As a child and young teenager, and, okay, even older than that, I was terrified of storms. I'm not sure why, but thunder, lightning, high winds, tornado warnings, all those things made me shake inside. Looking back now, that fear seems totally unreasonable, and I'm not sure where it came from. Maybe I was afraid of tornadoes because, unlike other girls my age who watched Nickelodeon or the Disney Channel, for some reason, I watched the Weather Channel a lot. I was remarkably educated about floods, droughts, hurricanes, and blizzards. I knew about people being rescued from their rooftops and losing power for days. I'm aware that most children aren't fascinated by weather events, but I was unusually interested in what can happen in the natural world and how powerful it can be. I just wasn't interested enough to want to live through a tornado, but I did. Kind of, or at least from a distance. I once saw a tornado from my seat in the car while my family drove from our home in Louisiana to a Texas Rangers baseball game. The sheer force of it captured my attention and terrified me. I can still see the image of the funnel cloud in my mind. But I can also see a mental picture of my cousin, Reed, undoubtedly the toughest and least fearful of the Robertson grandchildren, freaking out over the tornado. This guy, who was never afraid of anything and always rushing into things that seemed dangerous, started screaming as loud as he could and even threw his phone to the back of the car. That episode with the tornado stands out as one of the most frightening events of my childhood because it felt so threatening to me. and there was absolutely nothing I could do about it. It was completely out of my control. I didn't know then that navigating situations we have no control over is a necessary step toward breaking free from fear. That's one thing about God. He's the one in control, not you or me. The tornado incident drove home for me the whole idea that I am not in control of anything. It was so much bigger, so much more forceful, so much more frightening than any experience I had ever had. After watching it with my family that day, I didn't want to travel anywhere unless I knew what kinds of scary things could happen. Seriously, before I went on a trip, I researched the most common natural disasters in the state where I was going. It didn't take long for me to learn what was likely to happen in almost every state in America. Want to know where tornadoes strike most often? Just ask me. Interested in the states where wildfires happen most? I can tell you that. Want to know the places most vulnerable to floods or earthquakes? I still remember them. Oh, and as a bonus, if you'd like to know the details of hurricane season, I could probably help you with those, too. Being afraid of tornadoes and natural disasters isn't terribly uncommon, but I took those fears to extremes. You see, it's one thing to be aware of your circumstances. It's another thing to let them consume and control you. And that's what fear does. Plenty of people are scared of big catastrophes, but it isn't always the big dramatic events, like watching a tornado from the car window, that make us most afraid. We can be just as fearful of ordinary, everyday situations. Maybe you've heard that a lot of people struggle with the fear of public speaking. That's been true for me. You may have heard me speak in a large arena or on YouTube, where the whole world can watch and think, "No way! She didn't seem nervous at all!" If you have, thanks for being there. Let me just say this. I was the person in elementary school who started sweating and breathing fast if the teacher called on me to read aloud in class. I had to learn to face my fears every time I stepped on a stage or in front of a camera. Though I truly believe I am living fearlessly, I'll confess that sometimes I still get a little nervous when I speak in front of lots of people, but it's excited nervous instead of scared nervous. I used to allow nervousness to keep me from wanting to speak. Now I can hardly wait to get in front of the audience, and I just say, "Go away, fear. I'm not listening to you. I've got a job to do. I mean it. Go away. Not today. Goodbye. In the name of Jesus." The key ingredient to overcoming fear is not just speaking to it. It's speaking to it in Jesus' name. When I tell fear to go away and leave me alone in the name of Jesus, I say it with lots of force and a little bit of sass. That short speech has become my anthem. I don't care if I sound a little silly saying it. It works. If you will stand up to fear, give it a little straight talk, and tell it to leave you alone in Jesus' name, that will get you a long way. But beyond that, it's also vital to trust God while you're still afraid. You see, often your peace is waiting for you on the other side of trust. I've had a lot of experiences where God met me once I stared down my fear, pushed through it, and did what I needed to do. When we're afraid, we have a tendency to pray and ask God for peace before we'll step out and do what frightens us. But most of the time, we simply need to move forward. Once we break through the fear, God gives us the most amazing sense of peace, but usually not while we're still deciding whether to conquer it or not. If you're waiting for a sense of peace to come so you can deal with your fear, you could be waiting for a long time. If you will be brave and march straight into that fearful situation, having faith that God will bring you through it, that's probably where you'll find the peace you're looking for. Here's a question. How many thoughts of fear consume your mind? On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being off the charts high, how fearful would you say you are? Here's a challenge. I challenge you to name your fears, because the first step to moving beyond fear is to know specifically what you're afraid of. So go ahead, make a list of your fears on paper or in your phone. Here's some encouragement. Once you get to the other side of fear, once you've had that breakthrough you need, you'll look back on the things you were once afraid of and ask yourself, why was I so scared of that? Yep, you'll have the ability to laugh at your fears. That's the kind of freedom I believe you can find in this book. Here's how you can pray. Lord, help me identify what I'm afraid of and show me how you are bigger and greater than that. Give me security and safety through the truth of your word. Take note. The Bible has lots of scriptures that include words like fear not or don't be afraid or something similar, depending on which translation you're using. Here are a few of them. Write down some ways these Bible verses can help you gain victory over fear. Isaiah 35, verse 4, John 14, verse 27, Matthew 6, verse 34, Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7. I don't even know how to dance. I was hit with a big fear moment when I received the phone call letting me know that Dancing with the Stars wanted me to appear on the show. The timing could not have been crazier. In June 2014, I had attended a meeting about being a contestant. They said they would call me in 2 weeks to let me know if I'd been chosen. 2 weeks passed and no one called, so I assumed I would not be part of the cast. 2 months passed, and August rolled around. They finally called one Friday, but only to say, "We aren't going to have you on the show. We already have a girl your age for this season." I was sad and disappointed after waiting all summer for their decision, but I accepted it. 2 days later, on a Sunday, they called back and said, "We want you after all, but you'll be a week behind everyone else, so we need you in Los Angeles tomorrow." The fact that I was a week behind all the other contestants was not a surprise. I had already seen media reports about people chosen for that season of the show, such as Bethany Mota. Here's the thing about Bethany. She had something like 5 million Instagram followers when Dancing with the Stars chose her. When we went to New York for the announcement on Good Morning America, her picture was on the huge screen in Times Square. She's a big deal. Another contestant that season was Alfonso Ribeiro. He eventually became my California dad, but when I first heard I would be competing against him, I thought, no pressure, Sadie. He's only been on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and danced in a commercial with Michael Jackson. And then there was me, a teenager from West Monroe, Louisiana, who was not happy about missing basketball season. Maybe you understand why I felt out of place with such well-known, accomplished people. Before that, the biggest audience I had ever performed for was in my high school gym during basketball playoffs. Of course I was nervous about dancing on television in front of the whole world. But still, I was so thankful to have been asked to be on the show. I was truly honored by the invitation. But the thought of leaving home the next day and being a week behind everyone else was overwhelming. So I said what a lot of people might say when they're overwhelmed. "This is such an amazing opportunity. Thank you so much for asking me, but I just don't think I can fly out tomorrow. This is an intense competition, and I don't want to start out a week behind the other competitors." My response made perfect sense to me. After all, I didn't know anyone on the show. I had never met my partner, and three thoughts kept racing through my mind. One, what would the Christian community in my small southern town say? Two, I didn't even know how to dance. Minor detail, right? And three, it was basketball season. The more I thought about it, I felt rather awkward and not graceful at all. I could dominate a basketball court, but a dance floor? That was a different story. Once I hung up the phone, I had a meltdown, and it was major. As soon as they asked me to participate, I decided not to do it because I was so afraid. Fear kicked in, and I could feel it physically. "I don't even know how to dance," I shrieked to my mom. I meant it. My school didn't offer a dance class or host a prom. I had never danced in my life. Generally speaking, dancing was not something a lot of people around me viewed favorably. I mean, you've seen Footloose, right? So I was also nervous about what people would say or think about me. That's what the fear of man looks like. Fear gripped me so tightly that I started bawling, saying, "I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I know I said I wanted to be on the show, but I don't." It was quite a crisis at the Robertson house. My mom stayed up with me that entire night until 4 the next morning. I talked. I cried. She listened. This was a lot for her to process, too. The whole idea of sending her 16-year-old daughter to Hollywood to be immersed in a world we knew nothing about. Had I been going on a duck hunt, everyone would have felt okay about it. But a dance competition? That was coloring outside the lines. I want you to know something about my mom. All my life, she has been my go-to person. She is totally chill about everything. The whole world could be on fire, and my mom would be the one saying, "It'll be okay. We can deal with this." And then she'd get busy doing her part to put out the fire. She's one of those people who doesn't have a fear chip in her wiring. She lives at peace. She takes Proverbs 31 verse 25 seriously and literally. She really does laugh at the days to come, and she has no fear of the future. It means so much to me that while fear was never an issue for my mom, and it was an issue for me, she never judged or criticized me. She realized that fear was a genuine struggle for me, and she took it seriously. But taking my fear seriously didn't mean my mom was willing to accept it. She never said, "Oh, it's okay that you're afraid," about anything. Instead, she handled it with grace and said things like, "I understand that you're afraid, but that's not truth." She continually prodded me toward truth and freedom from fear. I'll always appreciate that. Still, the only time I have ever seen my mom wrestle with a tinge of fear was over my invitation to Dancing with the Stars. After all, she'd heard stories about what happened to young people in the entertainment industry, stories about things she didn't want to happen to me. For the first time in my life, my mom and I wrestled fear at the same time. She finally found freedom from fear when a good friend said to her, "Corey, don't be afraid. Sadie has the God of the universe living inside of her. The devil is the one that should be afraid." Amazing advice. She ended up at peace with my being on Dancing with the Stars before I did. Looking back now, I realize that seeing her win her battle over fear ultimately gave me strength to win mine, too. My little sister's big question. The night of the phone call, Mom and I both got a few hours of sleep. When I woke up, I was still as scared as I could be about Dancing with the Stars, and I still thought I would say no to them. Still, I knew the experience could be good for me, but I couldn't find a way to slide myself out of the grip of fear. The first thing I did that day was to take my little sister Bella out to lunch. As I talked about all that had happened, she stopped me and looked me right in the eye. "Sadie, can I ask you a question?" she said in her 11-year-old matter-of-fact way. "Is this the fear talking, or is this you talking?" My little sister had a great point. Who was talking? Was it the fear, or was it me? Bella could have simply said, "Sadie, this is not you talking. This is fear talking." But she made her point in the form of a question, knowing that having to wrestle with it would be good for me. Of course it was the fear talking. I didn't want to admit it, but what was I going to do? I got busted by an 11-year-old. Here's a question. Are you torn right now because you really want to do something, but you're afraid? Ask yourself the same question Bella asked me. Is this fear talking, or is this you talking? Here's a challenge. I challenge you to say yes to whatever you're currently saying no to. Don't let fear make you say no when God is leading you to say yes. Here's some encouragement. Bella's question itself is encouragement. If you know fear is talking, go ahead and silence it. You be the one who does the talking. Here's how you can pray. Lord, give me the strength to say yes when you want me to do something. Give me guidance to know what to do next in my life. I surrender my no to you and agree with what you want for me. If you're saying yes, I say yes too. The encouragement I needed. After lunch with Bella, I had made plans to visit my friend Mary Kate. I was running late. In fact, I became so upset on my way to her house that I threw up in the car. Not pretty, I know. But fear is ugly. It not only cripples and paralyzes us and keeps us from doing what our hearts want to do, it can also mess with our stomachs. I decided to go to Mary Kate's house anyway because she is the kind of friend whose house you can go to when your nose is running, your face is swollen from crying, and you have throw up on your shirt. She's now my sister-in-law, and I love that. Still, I thought it might be a good idea to try to calm down a little bit first. So I drove around a neighborhood not far from her house. Suddenly, my brother John Luke appeared. He had been at Mary Kate's house because he was dating her at the time, but for some reason, he ended up just where I needed him at just the right moment. He could see I was falling apart, but he had no idea what was wrong. He tried to get me to roll down the car window and talk to him, but I refused. I was so caught up in fear and so upset that I wasn't thinking clearly. So John Luke jumped on my car, and he would not get off. I drove around that neighborhood for 40 minutes with my brother on my car. Talk about love. He was not going to let me be alone, and he was not going to let me go, no matter what. Eventually, I just decided to pull into Mary Kate's driveway, and John Luke got off the car, and we went inside Mary Kate's house. Together, he and Mary Kate helped me settle down and began to talk me through the situation. "You can do this, Sadie," they said. "It'll be great." I wasn't convinced, but they kept encouraging me. That encouragement was even more remarkable because John Luke really wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars himself. Had they called him instead of me, he would have been on the plane to L.A. that day without one bit of fear or hesitation. It would have been pure joy and excitement for him. As much as he wanted to be on the show, when he saw me having such a hard time with it, he never said, "What's wrong with you? This is the coolest thing ever, and you're saying you don't want to do it?" He never even mentioned his own dream of appearing on the show. He simply listened to me, spoke truth to me, loved me unconditionally, and showed the most beautiful display of selfless generosity I think I've ever seen. That's why I dedicated this book to him. By the time I left Mary Kate's house, I felt much better. Their affirmation and support had taken me from being almost torn apart by fear to a place of decision. I ultimately decided to go for it and appear on Dancing with the Stars. Even after the show started, with every practice and every performance, I had to face my fear. Sometimes I felt like arrows of fear were flying at me from all different directions, just like in Ephesians 6 verse 16. Fear of not getting my steps right, fear that something awkward might happen with my wardrobe, fear of letting my partner down, fear of so many new experiences in such a short time. Day after day, rehearsal after rehearsal, televised show after televised show, I gradually found myself no longer dodging arrows, but surrounded by a shield of faith that knocked them to the ground. I was still aware of them, but much better able to hold up my shield of faith so they would ricochet off of it, powerless. I'll write more about Dancing with the Stars in a later chapter, but right now I want to make this point. It's not that things aren't scary. They are, and they will continue to be. But each of us has to come to a deep, personal realization that God has already conquered fear, and by the power of His Spirit, we can live completely free from fear. There's so much more to this life, so much we can experience and give to others if we can break free from fear. If we can learn to let God lead us instead of letting fear control us. Yep, I did it, and it turned out okay. You may know the rest of the story. My Dancing with the Stars partner, Mark, and I won second place for season 19. I ended up meeting the most amazing people, making friends I hope I'll have for life, and having a blast. Being on Dancing with the Stars was the biggest thing I'd ever done, and the most fear-producing. But it didn't stay that way. Once I experienced the situation I'd been so afraid of and pressed past my fear, being part of the show turned out to be the most amazing thing I'd ever done, and the one that strengthened me more than anything else ever has. God took all kinds of weaknesses in my life at that time, such as not having any idea how to dance and being afraid of the whole Hollywood scene, and turned them into strengths. Best of all, He used that experience to help me learn to live fearless. Again, it's not that things weren't scary. I don't know many people who wouldn't be terrified to be on an internationally televised dance contest when they had never danced even one step. But as always, even though the circumstances were hugely intimidating, God was even bigger. He still is, and He always will be. For me, the show was about much more than learning to dance on a stage. It was about learning to dance through life unafraid. So, you, yes, you, can overcome fear and quit living your life as a fearful person, just as I did. It's not that things aren't going to be scary, but God has given you power over them. When you're faced with something you want to do, but you find yourself afraid to do it and even saying no to it, ask yourself the same question Bella asked me. Is this the fear talking, or is this me talking? Fear will hold you back from some of the most awesome experiences life has to offer, but you don't have to let that happen. You can tell it, go away, not today, goodbye, in the name of Jesus. Work the Word. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. Psalm 25, verse 4 through 5. The world wants to take you on a journey. It wants to tell you how to live your life, what you should think is important, how you should think about your work, how you should handle relationships, what you should try to achieve. The list goes on. And sometimes that journey looks good. It can be pretty attractive and satisfying for a while. But it is not the journey that will glorify God. As John Piper says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. That's a challenge, but it's a challenge with an amazing reward. Let me encourage you today to let God, not the world or anything the world tries to inspire you to be or do, be the most satisfying thing in your life. Even if He's leading you in a direction you don't really want to be led, and even if you're really scared, it's so important to establish a great relationship with Him and a great love for Him. That's the only way to push past the fear and follow Him. He wants your love, He wants your trust, and He wants to take you on an amazing journey through life that will put to shame everything the world could ever offer. Don't be afraid of God's leading in your life. Step out and follow, because He's taking you somewhere. 2. Who, me? Fearless? I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. Nelson Mandela. I want to call your attention to the cover of this book. You might notice that I got some ink. Yes, right now this incredibly awkward person feels very cool. I got a tattoo of the word fearless on the inside of my left arm. I understand that tattoos aren't for everyone. For a long time, they weren't for me either. I never thought I would get one. Never. When my dad got them, I would groan and say, "No, I can't stand tattoos." But my tattoo has a story I want to share with you. Even though fear has always been an issue for me, as far back as I can remember, during my teenage years, my struggle with it became really intense. When I say intense, I mean that every morning when I woke up, I was afraid of something. Every night when I went to bed, I was frightened for some reason. And throughout each day, I was fearful. To say that I lived my whole life in fear is not an exaggeration. I knew in my head that the Bible says many times, "Do not fear." In fact, I've included a list at the end of the book of some of my favorite "Do not fear" verses for you to read and memorize. I knew that it was great advice. After all, God said it. I wanted so much to live without being afraid, but I simply could not shake it. I often thought, who can blame me? There are so many things in the world to be afraid of, right? I bet you can think of a few, too. Once, while wanting desperately to obey God's word and not fear, yet finding myself unable to do it, I even said to God, "You wrote those words a really long time ago, okay? And look at the world now. There's so much scary stuff going on." I didn't really think God was unaware of this. I was only making excuses for myself. And I learned that while we are making excuses to God, He has already heard them. He's already considered them, and He still says, "Do not fear." No exceptions, no qualifiers, just do not fear. No more excuses. You've already heard about one time I said no out of fear, that phone call from Dancing with the Stars. Now let me share with you another one. The call came in mid-2015 from the organizer of a 10-day event that would take place in November called Winter Jam. The yearly Winter Jam events are huge Christian get-togethers for young people, and I was really excited to be asked to participate as a speaker. I was also really scared, so I decided to say no to this opportunity, too. Can you spot the pattern here? At that point, my mom must have decided we were not going to have another round of drama like we had when I said no to Dancing with the Stars. So she nipped it in the bud. "You're going," she said. "You are going to do this." I heard her, but I was still afraid. As I thought about that 10-day trip, I kept getting a strange feeling that something bad was going to happen. I thought that feeling was God's attempt to warn me not to go. When I told my mom about it, she said, "God does not produce feelings of fear or anxiety. In fact, it's the opposite. God's word tells us over and over again not to worry or fear, and is very clear that God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. If you're anxious or fearful about this, that is not from Him." Now, let me say that I do believe God often warns people of danger or even prepares them. But in this case, there was not one bit of danger anywhere around. God was not warning me about anything. The enemy was trying to keep me from being part of Winter Jam. I should have asked myself Bella's big question again. Is this the fear talking, or is this me talking? It was fear. My mom knew it, and that's why she insisted that I go. When the time came to leave home for the event, my mom practically had to pick me up and put me on the bus. I felt like the new person in high school, so nervous about joining the group. The Winter Jam team included more than 100 people. Most of them were singers and musicians, some of whom asked me, "Why are you here?" I wanted to cry. All I could blurt out in response was, "I don't know. I don't have any idea why I'm here." I didn't want to tell them my mother made me do it. Before I left for Winter Jam, I was becoming completely disgusted with the way fear was controlling my life. As I started hating the fear that consumed me, I also began to hate the person I was becoming because of it. And that was a major problem. About that time, I also saw a statistic that said more than 40 million people in the United States, ages 18 and older, suffer from anxiety disorders. Some people might have said, "It's okay. I'm in good company. 40 million people in the U.S. have varying levels of anxiety like I do." Not me. When I saw that I fell into that statistical group, it made me mad. I didn't want to be a statistic. That's when I knew I really had to change. Playtime was over. I had to deal with it. No more excuses. The thought came to me that I wanted more than just 10 nights of giving a message on a platform during Winter Jam. I also wanted to experience God personally during my time on the tour, and I knew that my greatest need was for Him to set me free from fear. So I decided that the start of the trip would be a good time to begin praying and releasing to God the fear that had tormented me for so long. I began praying intensely every night about my struggle with fear, asking God to set me free from its power in my life. It seemed like each night I gained a little more strength to release a little more fear. As I began to give up the fear to Him, new levels of confidence and courage came to me every single night. It was not a sudden breakthrough or a realization that I was not as afraid as I used to be. It was something I saturated in ongoing prayer. As I prayed night after night, the Holy Spirit began to show me that I needed to change the way I was praying. Instead of crying out to God for my situation to change, He led me to cry out for my heart to change. I learned an important lesson through that experience. When we stop praying for God to change our circumstances and start asking Him to change our hearts, that's when we experience the peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4, verse 7. Here's a question. Are you letting fear run rampant in your life? Have you reached the place where you are ready to deal with it? Here's a challenge. This is a big challenge, but you can do it. I challenge you to memorize each of these Bible verses. They'll help you a lot on your journey toward living fearless. Joshua 1, verse 9. Isaiah 12, verse 2. Isaiah 41, verse 13. Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31. Hebrews 13, verse 6. Here's some encouragement. Reaching the point where you are totally disgusted with the way fear affects your life can be great motivation to finally deal with it. So my encouragement to you today is get disgusted with the fear if you aren't already. Here's how you can pray. Help me, God, to reach the point that I hate fear and what it does to me, enough to really deal with it. Get me to the place where I want more than anything to be set free. Take note. Lots of verses in the Bible include instructions from God to specific people, telling them not to fear in certain situations. He said it to Abram, Genesis 15, verse 1, Joshua, Joshua 8, verse 1, Daniel, Daniel 10, verse 12, and Zechariah, Luke 1, verse 13. I encourage you to write a note to yourself using the words, "Do not be afraid," insert your name, as you're facing, describe the situation that is causing fear, "because the Lord is with you." Put that piece of paper where you can see it often, or type the same words into a note on your phone so you can look at them and remember them. Where did that fear go? Every night, the musicians at Winter Jam played a song called "There is Power." Every time I heard it, I entered into it completely. I sang it with all my heart. I told God that I believed it. I prayed as I sang, "God, I need the power in the name of Jesus to break this fear off of me." Then I asked God to breathe through me as I spoke to the crowds. Part of my speaking role each night included participating in a question and answer session. For the first 7 nights, the founder of the event, Eddie Carswell, sat on stage with me, asking me questions. I would have been over the top scared to appear in front of such a large audience by myself, but I could manage the question and answer time with Eddie. I wasn't confident. I was a nervous wreck. You know, that old thing about fear of public speaking. But I got through it every night. On the 8th night, everyone around me was in for a big surprise. The fear that had lived inside of me for so long was gone. God had supernaturally delivered me from it, just as I had prayed He would. I told Eddie I would speak alone that night, that there was something I wanted to say to the audience instead of doing the question and answer session. I was praying and praying, getting ready to speak by myself in front of about 20,000 people, when our security guard walked up to me and said, "Sadie, are you okay with going on stage tonight?" I said, "Yeah, why not?" He then told me about a terror attack that had happened that day at a concert in another country, on a stage very much like this one. The enemy is strategic. He is working in many places at once to hurt, kill, and instill fear. And, horribly, that day, terror had reared its head in France. Using that massive tragedy and the pain of all those people, he tried to maintain his grip on me. He had held me back and kept me bound in fear for a long time, and he was not going to let me off the hook easily. Even though I just learned about the attack right before going on stage, for the first time ever, fear didn't cross my mind. Normally, sadness and fear would have consumed me, and I would have said, "Nope, not doing it. See ya." But that night, I had thoughts that would have once been totally foreign to me. Thoughts such as, "Yes, I'm going on stage. Tonight of all nights, I need to be on stage. I need to be out there praying for our world." I wanted to encourage others to pray too, for the victims and for the state of terror of our world. I wanted to remind them not to give up, to tell them, "This is scary, but if you'll pray for your heart to change, you can face the scariest situations life can offer and still have the peace that passes understanding, because you'll know what side of victory you're fighting from." Several of the artists, musicians, security guards, and crew members on the tour later came to me and told me that seeing my courage that night had a major impact on their lives. They knew that a week earlier, I had been too scared to do the question and answers alone. They witnessed the transformation over those 8 days firsthand, but they had no idea how intensely I had wrestled with fear before I met them. The people around me actually said to me, "Sadie, you are fearless." I'd never heard anything like that in my life. Fearless? Me? Yes, me. God did so much in my heart during the 10 days of Winter Jam, and I can't begin to write about it all. For now, I just want to tell you the most important lessons I learned about dealing with fear. The first lesson is that no matter how afraid you may be right now, you don't have to stay that way. For me, it took becoming totally disgusted with fear to decide that I would no longer let it run rampant through my life. It took the revelation that I did not have to live that way. If you're waiting for that same revelation, I just gave it to you. Now you have it too. Second, if you don't want to stay that way, it's up to you to make a change. No one can deal with your fear except you. And unless you make an intentional choice to confront it, it will keep tormenting you. Third, once you decide to kick fear out of your life and start your journey toward freedom, the best thing to do is pray. You'll never overcome it on your own. It's too strong. But by God's grace, in the power of the name of Jesus and with the Holy Spirit's help, you can get fear out of your life and let freedom in. The more I prayed over my time on the Winter Jam tour, the more I learned to trust God. When I began to trust Him fully with my whole life, that's when the power of fear had to loosen its grip on me. The journey to fearlessness wasn't easy for me, and it may not be easy for you. But I can promise you, it will be worth it. Sometimes people ask me how they can defeat fear without being a Christian. I don't have an answer for that, because I can only speak about the way freedom came to me, through the Word of God. People can say to me that they don't believe God is real, but no one can ever disprove the freedom I found through His truth and power. Fearless. I went home after the Winter Jam tour and got my tattoo on Thanksgiving Day, saying, "I never want fear to stop me from doing anything else in my life. I never want fear to make me say no again. I never want fear to be even the slightest problem for me. And if I ever have just a tiny fearful thought, I want to be able to say no to it immediately." So I got the tattoo on the inside of my left arm because that's where I can see it best. It's not for anyone else. It's not to brag or to be cool. It's there so I will have a permanent reminder that God has defeated fear. I once read a definition of fear that called it the belief that something bad is going to happen. As I thought about that, I said to myself, that's true. And then I realized that faith is the belief that something